thinking, man, how many know you can start when you're ready? How many know the Olympics are all going now? They just started on, I believe, Friday. Amen. And I was watching yesterday, and it went right along with the scriptures. I was watching, and it was very interesting. I was watching this.
Today, well, guess what? I'm not either. I'm doing more teaching than preaching. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And I'm going to ask for your undivided attention because, in saying that, I want you to leave here with something from the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to ask Evangelist Bloomfield if she would pass out my sheets for you. And I'm strong at notes. I like people to leave here with something. I haven't been up here in a long time. But thank God I'm feeling better. Amen? I thank God for the power of prayer. I thank God for all of you that prayed for me. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God. Giving honor to my husband, my pastor, my rock. He is my rock. Amen. My strong, strong, strong arm. Amen. That has been there for me during my time of need. And God definitely has been there providing for me. Amen. Amen. Sister Shire, I know I didn't give you scriptures. I'm hoping you can follow me. I'm going to ask you to put up my message slide. Amen. Hope for the fallen. Amen. And the background of this picture, you see a man that has pretty much fallen. And he's been lifted. And he's being lifted by a depiction of Jesus. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Nobody knows what Jesus looked like, but this is a depiction of Jesus. Those of you that would like a piece of paper to take notes, because I didn't leave much room on that paper, ask someone to get some notepaper out of my office. If you want notepaper, please raise your hand. This message is a little bit unconventional to the preaching that you're used to. I don't think I'm going to go down the aisle preaching. I don't think so. But if it happens, you guys, please stay with me. Amen? Amen. Pastor said I'm boring. Okay. Praise the Lord. Sister Shire, I'm going to ask you, would you turn to St. John chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse number 1, and we're going to go all the way to verse 27. Can we say amen? I'm going to ask you to stand. Once you get that scripture, stand for the reading of the word. Amen. Do we all have it? Amen. Those of you that are able, if you would stand, please. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto the men, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. of Nazareth? Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the same might be fulfilled which he spake of them which go, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world, in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which hurt me, what have I said unto them? Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. Well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him down unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Can you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for giving us this morning another day, Lord Jesus, another day to get it right, another day, Lord, just to seek your face. We ask that you bless me, your servant, oh God, to deliver this message to your people. Oh God, we ask that they receive it in like fashion, oh God. We ask your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. My focus this morning is on the Apostle Peter. Amen? And we read this story in John about Jesus when he was taken by the high priest and they decided to take him and put him to death. Amen. There is a message in this story. Amen. This talks about Peter and his denial. It talks about the rock. Amen. And in the book of
Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28 through 33, Shaira, could you turn to that, please? The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28 through 33, it talks about the denial of Jesus. Peter denied. Amen. We're going to turn to that. I'm going somewhere with this. Can you all be patient with me? I am going somewhere with this. We're working it up. Amen. Chapter 10. You know, I always wondered about Peter. Why was he chosen to be the rock? Why was Peter chosen to be the one that God, Jesus decided to give the keys to the kingdom? And that always made me wonder what was going on with Peter. Peter, his name in itself means rock. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to the verse 28. And we're going to start there. And it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are able or not able to kill the soul, but rather him, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Wheresoever, therefore, shall confess me, whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father." Amen.
Amen.
"I will deny before my Father which is in heaven." Amen. In the book of Matthew, Jesus was giving a lesson to his apostles. He's telling them, if you deny me, I will also deny you.
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me, I'm a bit nervous. I haven't been up here in a long time. You know how you prepare, and a lot of the stuff that you prepare is going, you're saying, where do I go first? Okay. I'm just going to work it out. So now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to understand Peter and why he was called the rock. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13. Let's go there. And it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, that I the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter," the apostle we're going to discuss this morning, "answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
"And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Yeah.
Amen. 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 So this establishes the principle why Peter was called the rock. He recognized who Jesus was.
Amen.
Amen. How many of us know who Jesus is?
Amen.
When we're in our midst, hour and things aren't going well, who do we call on? We call on Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is our rock. And I ran across the story that depicts this very same scripture, and it's about Peter, and I'm going to read a little bit of it, and then we're going to get into the message. Amen?
Amen.
There are a lot of sounds that we hear very often. One of them is the sound of a rooster crowing. We have all the sounds that go on with modern life. We hear automobiles, we hear buses and trains and trucks and sirens. In the city, you can hear kids yelling, right?
Amen.
You all hear those kids yelling. You want them to be quiet, but they're yelling and music blaring. The other day, we were sitting in, we were here. We were in the church, and there was a car that went past Griswold Heights, and the music was boom, boom, boom. And we heard that all the way in here, and they wanted to turn everything off. They said, there's a strange sound coming. Amen. Where is it coming from? It was that car out there with a boombox going on. Okay? But very seldom will you hear a rooster crowing, right? Amen. If you heard a rooster crow tomorrow morning, you would say, what in the world is going on? Right? The Bible referred to it as a cock, the cock crowing. Amen? Everybody knows that roosters belong out in the country, right? God made roosters as alarms. Amen. To signal that a new day has come. Amen. To remind the kids to get up and milk the cows on the farm, right? Peter knew all about roosters because he lived in Galilee. He heard roosters crowing since the day he was born. The sound was as familiar to him as the sound of a radio alarm would be to us today. Over the years, he had heard that sound 1,000 times or more. But of all the times and of all the roosters, he would never forget that day, long as he lived. Over the years, he had heard that sound, and something about that sound he would never forget. It happened one morning in Jerusalem, and this story goes along with the scripture. The cock crowed and Peter never forgot it. Amen. He told the story over and over again. In fact, the story is repeated in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've heard this story repeated over and over again, the story of Jesus' arrest. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew Henry, writing over 300 years ago, divided this story into two parts. Part one, Peter's fall. Part two, Peter's getting up again. How many of us know that if we fall, we can get back up again? Amen? Amen. We're going to follow that outline. Jesus had just been arrested, and he was taken to the house of the high priest. His disciples were nowhere to be found. They were upset because Judas had betrayed Jesus. Amen? They were too angry and too shocked. When the crowd of soldiers led Jesus away, Peter decided to follow them. He had promised never to desert Jesus. He wasn't going to start now. So in the confusion, he tagged along behind the crowd. Amen? No one noticed him. Certainly no one recognized him as one of Jesus' disciples, so he thought. He followed the crowd to the house of the high priest. Amen. He went into the courtyard, and by the time Peter got there, there were very many soldiers, and they were milling around inside. Amen. It was late. There was a lot of excitement going on because people were trying to figure out what were they going to do with Jesus. It was hard for people to tell exactly how many people were there. There were soldiers and there were servant girls running errands. Amen. Plus, there were people hanging everywhere who were waiting to see the final result of the meeting with Jesus. Amen. Peter was there with the rest of them. He went because he said he wasn't going to leave Jesus. And he was also curious, what's going to happen to Jesus at this time? They took him in, and he was curious, what is going to happen? Just as he was getting to the fire, the servant girl spoke up and said, you were with that Nazarene Jesus from Galilee. The words hit Peter like a ton of bricks. Somehow she recognized him. You know, sometimes you can be in a place and you think nobody knows you. Somebody recognizes you. Amen. How did she know him? No one really knows, and it didn't matter. She didn't know his name. What mattered was that somehow she connected him with Jesus. Something about when Jesus gets a hold of your life, you change. There's a change in you. You start to look different. You start to walk different. And you should be talking different. You should be dressing different. There should be something about your life that somebody can look at and recognize you've been with Jesus. Amen. Peter had to think real fast, you know, because he was in such a state of shock. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So that's right. He just shrugged it off. I don't even know what you're talking about. Number one, that was a lie. That was the first denial. It worked. Amen. He was off the hook for a moment, or at least Peter thought it worked. But as he stood around the fire talking to the soldiers, he noticed two or three people looking at him closely. They were looking at him. He thought he was off the hook. He really was not off the hook. One or two were nodding in his direction. Minutes passed by, and Peter turned to walk out of the courtyard. Things were getting a little bit uncomfortable. As he did, a second servant girl, a friend of the first, suddenly spoke up. This fellow is one of them. Okay? Peter tried to act calm, but he felt his heart pounding in his chest. He said, you've got to say something. He's thinking to himself, think, don't just stand there. So he said, I don't know the man. But when he said it, his face was flushed, and he could tell the girl didn't believe him. You know when you lie something about you, you lying? People know when you're lying, when you're not telling the truth, because your whole body chemistry changes. So they looked and they could tell Peter's lying. He denied Jesus again. Amen. More time passed. More looks and more whispers were directed at him. After about an hour, it appeared that Jesus' interview with the high priest was over. The guards were going to and fro the house, and the temple and the courtyard picked up. Peter breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe he would get off the hook after all. It was just at that moment that a man spoke up from the other side of the fire. He sounded more sure of himself and definitely more hostile than the servant girls. Didn't I see you with him in the Olive Garden? Peter looked up at him and tried to play dumb. This time it didn't work. Evidently, this fellow that had gone with the crowd to arrest Jesus, worse, he would, and the fact that this man was a relative Malchus, the man whose ear Peter had cut off when they were talking about, when Jesus was, they were talking about taking Jesus into the temple into the place to meet with him, to talk and interrogate him. Peter was trapped and he knew it. This fellow had seen him with Jesus. Plus, he was very angry about what Peter had done to his relative Malchus. When a man is backed into a corner, he will do almost anything to save itself. In this case, Peter began to curse and to swear. The curse words came out, and he said, I don't know him. Why don't you leave me alone? May God strike me dead if I ever heard of this man, Jesus. The words came tumbling out. Hallelujah. And words that Peter had used since the days of being a fisherman. He was a fisherman when Jesus saw him. Amen. He was afraid and exhausted. And immediately, the cock began to crow. And remember, Jesus had said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And then, this was his third denial, and the cock crowed. Amen. Now that this story is laid before us, we should begin to ask some questions. What possessed Peter to deny knowing God? Peter was scared and he was tired, but that doesn't excuse his conduct. How many times do we get backed into a corner where we lie? where we ask the question and we are not honest, where we feel that the only way out is to deny Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' case appeared to be hopeless. Hallelujah. The chief priests had him at last, and they would not let him go until he was dead. So that was pretty clear. So Peter felt, what point did it make to stick it out, knowing Jesus, when he felt threatened, when he felt that his life was in jeopardy? Peter was tired and lonely, and he was caught off guard. Once he denied knowing Jesus, there was no turning back. He almost felt hopeless. Hallelujah. It's pretty ironical that a moment ago, he was cut, 6 hours before that, he was cutting off Malchus's ear in defense of Jesus. Now a servant girl is claiming, you were with Jesus, and he's denying it. He was caught off guard. We get caught off guard if we do anything. Peter was ready to die for Christ just 6 hours earlier. Now all of a sudden he's denying Christ because he's caught off guard. He was not prepared. Hallelujah. What happened? He was unprepared and caught off guard, and he had not done his due diligence as far as praying is concerned. Amen. He set himself up by a long string of bad decisions. He talked when he should not have been, when he should have been listening. At the Last Supper, when Jesus said that all his disciples would desert him, Peter impulsively blurted out, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Within 6 hours, Peter would come to regret those great words. He didn't appreciate his own weakness. He didn't look into what was going on within himself. A lot of times we get in situations where we don't protect. You hear pastors saying, protect your weakness? We get in situations where we don't protect our weakness. There's an old adage, 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Amen. And I always love to hear that, because in essence it's saying, if you go 7 days and you don't pray, your battery is losing its charge. You're getting weaker and weaker. Amen. Peter was getting weaker. He ignored Jesus' warnings. How often do we ignore the warnings and the admonitions of the Word of God that comes forth over the pulpit? And then we find ourselves in situations that we're trying to figure out, I love the Lord, how did I get this bad? Hallelujah. He followed, I believe this is on your page, he followed afar off. He followed Jesus, but at a distance, when he should have been at his elbow. In this case, following Jesus at all only got him in more trouble. We say we love Jesus. We talk about it. We talk about we'll die for him. We'll talk about we'll do anything for him. But we're following God from a distance. We don't come to church like we should. We don't fast like we should. We don't do the things that we should to get close to Jesus. We don't pray like we should. So we're following Jesus, but we're following at a distance. And we have all kinds of excuses why we're doing this. Amen. He warmed himself at the wrong fire. Peter had no business warming himself in the company of the enemies of the Lord. As one writer put it, if his faith had not already frozen, he would not have needed to warm himself by the fire. By consorting with those who had arrested Jesus, Peter was placing himself in a position where he would almost certainly be exposed. Peter warmed himself by the wrong fire until things got too hot for him. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. How many of us have found ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time? I have. Knew you should have gone there. knew you shouldn't have done that. You knew you shouldn't have been with them. And all of a sudden, that spirit, whatever spirit it is that they have, that spirit sweeps you up, number one, because you haven't prayed enough. You haven't fasted like you should. And you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen. I hear a lot of stories of the young people finding themselves in positions where they're with their friends and they know that they shouldn't be going to a particular place. Pastor tells a story about going to parties and stuff, and his father gave him a certain time to be home, and he left there because he knew his father wasn't playing. Some of us take it for granted when we're given directives. We shouldn't be in different spots. That club that you used to go by, well, Sally's going to be there. So I'm going to see if Sally can do my hair. How's that sound? That's a good one? I'm going to see if Sally can do my hair. So I'm just going to run in there. I know Sally's there every Friday night. I'm going to run in there and ask Sally, can we make an appointment? So while you're in the club with Sally, Sally, can you do my hair? This old friend that you used to go out with, he stops by. He says, hey, I didn't know you'd go here. And you're thinking, wow, I didn't think I'd see anybody. He recognized me, okay? What are you doing here? You know, I thought you'd go to church now. Has that happened? How many of you? Come on, that's happened to you. Maybe you didn't go to the club. Sister Christina, you raised your hand? Yeah, I'm sorry I called you out, but it's happened. I'm just going to run to the corner store. I know a story of a young girl that I know. She ran to the corner store. She was down in the city doing something. She had no business, and she ran into the corner store. An old friend ran in, and he started talking to her, but she didn't know his girl was right behind him. And boy, did that turn out ugly. It did not turn out pretty. Can I tell you, it was not a pretty sight. They ended up in a fight. She called me up crying. I'm like, girlfriend, you knew that he was there because he ran the store. And she said, well, I didn't think he was running the store anymore. I didn't think I'd see him. I just ran in for a thing of butter and some other stuff. And I said, there was no other store to go to? Well, I didn't feel like walking. It was close. Okay, but something told her not to go in there, but she went anyway. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Unprepared for the attack that came. Peter was unprepared for what was going on. Amen? He compounded his sin first by being deceived and then denying, and then finally he swore and he cursed. But this was inevitable. Peter set himself up for a fall. How many of us set ourselves up for falls? And when it happens, we act like we're surprised. Amen? Amen. Peter was the rock. How did Peter, this happened to Peter. Amen. He fell, but there was something about Peter's falling that Jesus knew what was in his heart.
Amen.
And over the past, I think 2 weeks, I've been talking to Pastor about judging other people. How easy it is that we fall into a situation where we judge other people.
Jesus.
And for Jesus to turn around and call Peter the rock, in spite of everything, he still called him the rock. You know
Amen.
Why? Because he knew what was in his heart.
Amen.
And I said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on your heart.
Yes.
We can sit and we can look and we can judge. And we can see, well, so-and-so's doing such and such. How did they end up being in the praise team? How did they end up being chosen to be an evangelist? How did they end up being the choir director or on children's ministries? I'm just thinking of a few of the auxiliaries. How did they end up being that one the pastor called to lead prayer or whatever? Because we judge them according to what we see and according to what they do, but God looks on their heart. He does not see as man sees. He looks at them not in the rough stage. He looks at them in the futuristic stage because he knows all. And he knows the end from the beginning. And God sees you in the position that you're going to be in. And so God entrusts because he knows it's just a test that you're going through, that God is allowing you to go through, and he loves you. Amen? Amen. There are four steps in Peter's return to the Lord. Amen? Four steps. The Gospels are unanimous on one point. The cock crowed at the exact moment of Peter's third denial. As the curse words flew out of his mouth at that very instant, from somewhere off in the distance, the cock began to crow. The cock crowed and Peter remembered. It all came back to him. Amen? He remembered the warning that Jesus had, but he didn't believe Jesus. The look of Jesus. When Jesus was led out by the high priest, was led out, he saw Peter. And the look on Peter's face and the look on Jesus' face, it was a convicted look. You said you didn't know me. Look at me, Peter. Look at me now. Do you know me? It was a compassionate look. Peter, how weak you are. Now you know that without me, you can do nothing. When we get caught out there and Jesus sees us in the middle of our sin, we're convicted. And we feel sorry. Hallelujah. Peter cried. Peter had tears. Peter wept bitterly. Amen. Amen. But Judas wept also. Amen. Judas wept. Peter at least had the courage to follow Jesus there. All the other apostles had left and gone. But Peter had the courage to follow Jesus. So God saw his courage, amen? And in the words of William Barclay, Peter fell to a temptation that could only come from a brave man. The man of courage always runs more risk than the man who seeks safety. Liability to temptation is the price that a man pays when he is adventurous in mind and actions. Peter didn't handle himself well, but at least he was there. His failure was terrible, but at least he cared enough to try and follow his Lord. A lot of us are too scared to step out into the deep. I was scared to come up here before you for fear of failure. What goes on with multiple sclerosis? For me, I have a lot of plaque in the area of cognition. I'm a nurse by profession, and I had to quit being a nurse and go into retirement because I couldn't remember a lot of things. So I count a lot of notes because my memory fails me. But I said, you know, I'm going to launch out into the deep on this one. Amen. I pray that you'll get something out of this one. And I said, God, it's in your hands. Amen. My husband's praying for me. Hear that there is an amen. He's praying for me. So I'm praying that you get something out of this one. Amen. Amen. I used to be able to quote scripture backwards and forward and all of the above. And God said, you will not allow that to be your excuse for not allowing me to use you. So, this is my step out into the deep. Amen. I sat back there. You know, it's comfortable for me to come up after altar call. All of you are ready and everything. And it's easy for me to come up because you're already worked up. So then I can just say a few words and sit down. But this is a little bit more challenging. Some of us don't want to step out of our comfort zone to let God use us. And so we need to go ahead and step out of our comfort zone because God has instilled in you something that he wants to pull out of you. Amen. God saved us all for a purpose. We have to ask God, Lord, what will you have me to do? What is my purpose in life? I know you don't have me here just to look cute. You have me here because there's somebody out there that needs to be saved. Someone needs to hear the word of God. You need to tell somebody that Jesus is alive, that he's real. And I know he's real because he's done so much for me. Hallelujah. When I was down and out, when I was wallowing in sin, on the verge of becoming an alcoholic, Jesus stepped in. Hallelujah. I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know where I was going. But I cried out to God in my desperation. And I said, Lord, if you don't help me, I won't be helped. And God picked me up. And one songwriter said, he turned me around. And he planted my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah, I'm running for my life. How many of you have that testimony? You're running for your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Three lessons here. Satan often attacks us at the point of our strength, not the point of our weakness. Hallelujah. He knew that Peter had boldly said, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. But in Peter's strength, being bold, he put himself in the position for failure. And there's nothing wrong with being bold, but you got to prepare yourself if you're going to be bold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God allows us to fail often in order to strip away our self-confidence and our pride. Sometimes we're too proud, and we think everything's within our own strength and ability. I know that it's not within mine. So, Lord, I'm trusting you today. Lord, I need you today. Hallelujah. I'm trusting, oh God, that you're going to work this out. A lot of times we trust in ourselves instead of in God. But if you put your trust in Jesus, everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good thing that the Lord allowed this to happen. Hallelujah. By falling flat on his face, he forces us to admit that without the Lord, we can do nothing but fail. The quicker we learn that, and when we learn it completely, the better off we will be. Failure never seems to be a good thing when it happens, but if failure strips away our cocky self-confidence, then failure is ultimately a gift from God. That's what he did for Peter. Never again would Peter stand up and boast about his courage. In the future, he would talk with humility instead. God can redeem you in your mistakes if you will let him. Amen. Our title page is Hope for the Fallen. People fall. We fall down. One songwriter said, I believe it was Donnie McClurkin, we fall down but we get up. And he goes on to say, a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but got up. Amen. I've been running for Jesus a long time. I will tell you, I have fallen. But I've gotten back up again. Amen. And the more I fell and got back up again, the easier it became. It's like that newborn babe. They start out crawling. They start to stand up and walk, holding on to something. Pretty soon, they're walking on their own. Pretty soon, they're able to run. But when they fall down, if they never got back up and tried, they would never know that they could do it. Amen? Amen. And on your pass out that I gave you, go to the part that says, this is what Peter lost in his failure. He lost his vanity. He lost his pride. He lost his self-confidence. He lost his rash impulsiveness. He lost his unreliability. This is what Peter gained after his restoration. He gained humility. He gained a new confidence in God. He gained a tested courage and a new determination to serve Jesus Christ and a willingness to use his experience to help others. The things he lost didn't really need, he didn't really need. The things he gained, he couldn't have come to it any other way. In the same way God redeems our mistakes by removing the things that brought us down and replacing them with qualities we always wanted but couldn't seem to find. There's hope for the fallen. There's much in this story that should encourage us. It was not the real Peter who denied the Lord. Amen. It was the real Peter who followed him into the courtyard. Hallelujah. It was not the real Peter who cursed and swore. It was the real Peter who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was profound. That he was chosen to recognize this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Who does this story apply to? First of all, to you that are being tempted, to you that felt circumstances are attempting to draw you away from the Lord, be encouraged. If you feel weak and confused, if you feel like the devil is tempting you on all sides, be encouraged. If you tried and you found out that you made a mistake, take another step, get back up again. God is still with you. He wants to see you make it. Hallelujah. This story is for all of you that have fallen. If Peter can fall and still be restored, and God can give him the keys to the kingdom, what can God do for you in your life? God can take any crooked thing and make it straight. God can make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. God is able. He's able. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's hope for all of us. Hallelujah. If you are broken, he can make you whole again. If you have failed, he can make you useful again. If you've lost your courage, he can give it back to you again. If he did it for Peter, he can do it for you. Amen? And we have to take heart in that. We have to know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Don't count yourself out. Don't think that he's not going to do it for you. Because God is no respecter of person. If you position yourself where God can use you, God will use you. If you surrender yourself wholly to God through obedience to his word, you have to be obedient to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor preached the other day, and he talked about in obedience, it's through obedience that we get the blessings of God. Amen. And if we're disobedient, then we can't expect any good thing from the Lord. Amen? Amen. But our tests are only coming to make us strong. You can make it. You can do it. If you've fallen, be encouraged. Pick yourself back up again. God loves you. He loves you with a love you cannot even imagine. Amen. Pray my mind to the Lord.